speaking out.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Today, a group of investors, ex-regulators, and analysts plan to publicly criticize the Obama administration's plans to give more regulation power to the Federal Reserve. The Financial Times reports the group, including two former heads of the Securities and Exchange Commission, will propose the creation of an independent body to police systemic risk. There's another regulation topic that Mr. Obama and Congress are looking at for hedge funds and other private investment firms. But some insiders say, bring it on. Here's Marketplace's Amy Scott.
Rather than fight increased regulation, some in the hedge fund industry seem ready to accept it.
The idea that we have to have or should have significant pockets of the financial system outside of anybody's oversight is neither good for the country nor good for the industry itself.
That's hedge fund lobbyist Andrew Lowenthal. He's with a group called the Coalition of Private Investment Companies. Lowenthal says hedge funds recognize that more regulation is inevitable, and they've paid to help shape that regulation. According to the Center for Responsive Politics, hedge funds have ramped up their lobbying in the last few years. They've spent $16 million. Hedge fund lawyer Ron Geffner says the worry is that in trying to appease constituents, lawmakers will overreact.
It's like mixing a batch of drink for the first time. You're putting in the Kool-Aid. You want to mix it in slowly, try it, because once you put it in, it's hard to get it out.
The Obama administration wants to require fund managers to register with the SEC and report more information to regulators, but Congress could decide to clamp down even harder. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Now, markets continue their bounce. European stocks are up right now. Asian markets were mostly in the green today. On Wall Street, small gains for the S&P, NASDAQ, and Dow yesterday. The Dow closed at 83.59. By the way, after the market did close yesterday, chipmaker Intel reported better-than-expected earnings. There's a Rose Garden event this morning for President Obama to tout a health care overhaul bill unveiled yesterday by House Democrats. It would insure nearly all Americans, but it would use tax hikes and surcharges. It didn't take long after that proposal went out for those on the other side to get to work. And Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman joins us live right now. Good morning, Mitchell.
Good morning, Steve.
So what kind of reaction has this gotten so far?
Well, the bill has to raise well over $1 trillion. Now, that's over 10 years. Mm-hmm. It took about 10 minutes for my email box to start filling up with blowback. I got press releases reacting to the main ways that the House raises the revenue. That is increasing taxes on the highest earners and charging penalties to employers that don't offer health insurance to their employees. I cover entrepreneurship and small business. This is arguably the group that's most directly affected, since many of them can't afford to provide health insurance for their employees.
And what are the numbers here, Mitchell? How much would it cost these businesses?
Well, it comes in two parts. First, there's higher income taxes. We're talking about a surcharge of nearly 5.5%. That's at the very top if you earn more than $1 million. Second, employer penalties if they don't cover their workers. That would be 8% of payroll for all but the very smallest employers that would be exempt. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce says that those higher income taxes are a small business killer. They say it'll keep entrepreneurs from growing their companies and hiring new workers.
And what chance, Mitchell, do the business opponents have of pushing back on these penalties and on these surcharges?
Well, you know, keep in mind, this is the House Democrats' version. The Senate's moving legislation as early as today. There's much more resistance to tax hikes and employer penalties there. I think what we'll see in the Senate is trying to spread the pain around, not just to employers and high earners, also to healthcare providers and drug companies and insurance companies. And that's that.
All right. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman joining us. Thanks so much, Mitchell.
You're welcome.
We do appreciate it. Negotiations in California broke down again last night in an effort for lawmakers to bridge a $26 billion shortfall. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger said more state layoffs could be on the table, 2,000 of them perhaps, if a deal doesn't come soon. California's already been issuing IOUs, and Moody's yesterday cut the state's credit rating to 3 notches above junk.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
For the beer business, it seems the better the brew, the bigger the bucks. Sales figures show craft beer, the fancy, pricier stuff, is outperforming the cheaper stuff, even in a recession, Ben Calhoun reports.
On a recent morning at Brooklyn Brewery, bottles march single file into a labeling machine and pirouetted out in shiny new labels. In the rumbling brew house was Steve Hindy,
founder and president of Brooklyn Brewery.
Hindy's brewery sold its first beer in 1988 and is one of many breweries that have made American craft beer successful. But he admits he was ready for trouble when the recession hit.
We actually tightened our belts. We cut back basically wherever we could.
Hindy froze hires and trimmed his marketing budget. But a funny thing happened. Even as the economy tanked, sales of Hindy's craft beer didn't.
In fact, the opposite has happened.
Even though a Brooklyn Brewery six-pack can run you $10, sales are up 26%. Industry-wide, craft beer is up 10%, according to data from the research firm Information Resources Incorporated. Not only that, so-called premium craft beer, the ultra-pricey stuff, that's grown the most.
Yeah, it is kind of counterintuitive, isn't it?
So the question is why? Komil Gajrawala is a beverage market analyst for UBS and says there's a few explanations.
If you can afford the better beer, you're probably less impacted by the economy.
He also buys into what a lot of craft brewers believe. That is, when people cut back on big things, they ease the blow by finding more affordable ways to splurge. So if you're not buying a fancy bottle of wine, not buying a new car,
not going on vacation, not buying a whole variety of things, if you can't do any of that, you probably would like to trade up something like your beer to something that you consider higher quality, something that you enjoy more, something that gets you at least a little bit closer to feeling better about what's happening in the economy.
Feeling better in New York. I'm Ben Calhoun for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.